2 years after the stock market bottomed out, are we back on top?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, taking stock of the stock market 2 years after it hit its low point. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow's up 71 points at 12,241. The NASDAQ up about 0.2%, and the S&P 500 up about 0.5%. Wimbledon is going up a dimension. The head of the All England Club said today that some tennis matches will be broadcast in 3D at movie theaters around the world this summer as part of a multi-year partnership with Sony. Now, let's get to the stock market. As of this morning, the Dow is up about 86% from the low it hit on March 9th, 2009. That's 2 years ago this week. So we're pleased to be joined by economist Gary Schilling. He's with us from Springfield, New Jersey. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
So how did we do that? How did we get up so high?
With a lot of monetary and fiscal stimulus in response to the recession and the near meltdown in the financial market, plus a rebound from a very, very scary situation when a lot of people thought that the financial sector here and abroad was going out of business.
And Gary, for ordinary Americans that are invested either directly or through their retirement, if we've come up 86% since the low, does that mean that everything's okay? It never happened?
Well, first of all, bear in mind that if you go down 50%, you got to double. You got to go up 100% just to get even. And we're not back even yet with the peaks. But no, a lot of people bailed out at the bottom. They were really scared. They were cashing in their U.S. stock mutual funds, withdrawing money from them until really last December when they started to put money back in. And as a result, these people basically are still well behind. They rode the market down, bailed out at the bottom, and have not gotten back in until very recently. So a lot of post-war babies, as a result, are going to work longer than they thought because their 401ks have been destroyed.
Economist Gary Schilling, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Well, today, one of the first cities to file for bankruptcy after the financial crisis is trying to get out of bankruptcy. A judge is set to rule on an exit plan for the Northern California city of Vallejo. Kelly Weiss has more.
There's a sign outside of Vallejo's old fire station headquarters, closed. In case of emergency, call 911. But Vallejo Fire Chief Doug Robertson says 911 isn't a sure bet anymore. There used to be four dispatchers to answer the phones. Now there are two.
It's serious business when somebody's breaking into your home or your house is on fire and you call and no one picks up the phone. We get those complaints and they're legitimate.
The city shut down three of its eight fire stations after filing for bankruptcy in 2008. On a Monday night, Robertson's car bumps along roads full of potholes. The city has put street maintenance on hold, and the police department has lost more than 30% of its officers. Robertson grew up in this town and says residents are more emotionally and financially strained than before.
Well, economically, it is as bad as I've ever seen it.
The city has a plan to get services restored. It hinges on paying creditors what it can, and those creditors are mostly city employees. Some could end up getting 5 cents on the dollar for retiree health benefits and back pay. The next step is to jumpstart the economy. Michael Cohen hopes to attract private businesses. He's the board chairman of Vallejo's Chamber of Commerce. He says a faster permitting process and deferral of some startup costs could help do that.
Something to give them an incentive to say, you know, hey, Vallejo's offering this. Vallejo wants us here. They're really willing to work with us. Let's go here. Let's go to Vallejo.
Cohen says landing big box stores would create jobs and draw traffic from the highway running into the San Francisco Bay Area. That could entice a large retailer, despite the city's debt problems.
Nobody builds a store, you know, based on the past. They're basing it on the futures.
That's Malachi Kavanaugh with the International Council on Shopping Centers. Kavanaugh says local consumers are starting to spend more and retailers are looking to expand again after the recession. In the meantime, city leaders say Vallejo still has to get out of bankruptcy and restore confidence in public safety. From Vallejo, California, I'm Kelly Weiss for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com.
News this morning that the French luxury goods company LVMH is buying the Italian jeweler and watchmaker Bulgari for about $5 billion. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us now from our European desk in London. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
So first, tell us about these companies.
LVMH is the world's largest luxury goods group, and the Italian jeweler Bulgari is the smallest major jewelry maker. What is going to happen with this is LVMH is getting a 51% stake in Bulgari. This is turning LVMH into an even bigger collection of luxury brands. They already have fashion brands like Louis Vuitton and Fendi and Christian Dior. And, Jeremy, they'll have absolutely no trouble celebrating this deal. They own champagne brands like Dom Perignon, Krug, and Veuve Clicquot.
All right. Well, Stephen, the luxury goods market has experienced a slightly different recovery than the rest of the economy. Put this deal in context for us.
Austerity is certainly out of fashion for those that can afford it now. And analysts say this deal is a sign of success. Business in the luxury goods market is booming, especially in China and in other big emerging markets. So this deal will help the company exploit the surging Asian demand for high-class bling.
And what about you, Stephen? You've got any high-class bling on right now?
Why do you think I'm working in radio, Jeremy? No. And I'm wearing a $15 watch.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks.
Okay, Jeremy.
And you don't even need $15 to follow us on Facebook or Twitter. We're at Marketplace Radio on Twitter. Or you can go to our website and sign up for the Marketplace Midday Update podcast. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Protests in Cairo were about rights for everyone, but one particular group was there in force, and they are making sure they're not forgotten.
This is a potentially a battleground as women seek to claim their part of this revolution and to prevent any backsliding.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Egyptian women and economic equality, next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.